Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. Now, very grateful I am you chose to be with me, either by accident or maybe on purpose, on this beautiful November 24th day, 2018. We're going to look at how do we do certain things. I get some potpourri kind of questions, and I enjoy them so much. People are kind enough to write me, ask me these beautiful questions, and so I thought I would kind of combine them into a program entitled How. So we'll see if I can help some people. I want to remind you that this is a very important month as we head towards the end of the year, and we are seeking to raise donations to keep this radio program on the air. And our mystery donor is matching donations right now. And I need your support to sustain this radio program, as well as our TV efforts, my hospice efforts, and everything that I do to serve humankind. Your donations go far more into the lives of people than you would ever imagine. I couldn't even begin to explain how important they are, especially to those of you who are seeking, those who are leaving their body, and I go to hospice to help them and their families. Oy vey. There's so many things that your donations do. So please make a donation to serve humankind. I do the what I call grunt work. I do work that, you know, a lot of people wouldn't do, like hospice and hospital work. You have to be there for people. They're alone. They're afraid. Who wouldn't be? We'll all be there one day too. These radio programs, the TV programs, everything that is here is an effort to serve you, to help you, to awaken you. So please make a donation. It would be very helpful if you would become a sponsor. A sponsor is someone who makes monthly or quarterly donations. For your sponsorship, you get a load of goodies. My message of the month, each and every month, you can download it from the website, or I can send you a copy of it, no problem. I also offer to you a podcast, video cast, commentary twice a month, always on important subjects about spirituality. I'm going to go into this whole deal of why do a commentary. They're very important. And then, of course, there is all of the discourses I've done over the many years that I've been on television. And these discourses are yours for free. They are about all of the subjects I did with the TV programs, from what's the point of it all to nobody likes you anyway, to the Tao, the Eightfold Path of Buddha, the Beatitudes, the sound of one hand clapping. It's all there for you for free for being a sponsor. It's all there to help you become a sponsor. You can do so by going to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org, O-R-G. And when you get there, you will see a big splash page. It's about the year-end donations. And if you click on it, you can do it from there. You can do it. Jason, first question, how? How is it possible, Greg, to meditate when the mind won't let you? Jason, meditation is a practice, and you got to take it in little increments. You got to learn about your mind and how out of control that little puppy is, and it is out of control, and I understand. But what you have to do is you practice it in maybe 2-3 minute increments, you know, practice sessions where you are just sitting there watching your breath, keeping your awareness on the breath going in, on the breath going out, very gentle. And maybe you do it for a minute. Maybe you do it for, you know, 30 seconds in the beginning. You practice it and you practice it. It's like anything. You learn the art of it. And then after a while, I make meditations for you. One of the first issues with meditation and people is that they're too angry to meditate. When I was teaching formally and doing meditation classes, I would ask the students, how angry are you between the scale of 1 and 10, 10 being the most, 1 being the least? If you define anger as unresolved hurt, pain, sorrow, disappointment, things like that. Everybody's angry. So you have to do a catharsis, Jason, in the beginning. You really do. If you don't do catharsis, if you don't let it up and out, you will not be able to calm yourself down because you are thinking that you're the body and you're not the body. You are something other than that. So I have many catharsises on the website at aspire.org that you can get. You can either download them or you can get them in CD form. And you can sit there and practice catharting. Cathart, cathart, cathart. Breathe in, breathe out. There are so many there. I think there's 4 or 5 different catharsises there for you. From Heavy Breathers, which is the industrial brand, to the Tibetan catharsises that I've made for you. They're all there to serve you, and they will all do the trick. They really will. But if you don't lower the state of your anger to a degree where there is a gap, just a small gap inside, you won't be able to focus as well as you could if you were catharting. And this is why people don't meditate, is because they're too pissed off and angry. You know, we like being pissed off and angry. We do. And that's a part of the American lifestyle. It's a part of what it's all about for us. So I don't know what to say to you about that, because most people so enjoy being angry that I don't know what to say. I can't get you off of that. This is going to be the whole deal here. Meditation is a lifestyle. You can't be watching movies where people are shooting them up, and you can't be thinking about vengefulness, and you can't be thinking about your pride. You can't be thinking about politics. You can't be thinking about all the things you like to think about. You can't do it. And it's very, very difficult for people because they like all of that drama and hatred. But in the scheme of the spiritual practice where you are seeking to go beyond the mediocrity of the mind, it is a very, very difficult thing to do. You cultivate a mind without knowing it that is based in the horrendous hatred of human mind, human body, human affairs. And then before you know it, you're just living according to the collective unconscious, feeding off that collective unconscious, and making it more and more difficult for you to focus and concentrate. So you have to make meditation eventually a lifestyle. You start off with little increments of practicing, getting your mind off of the hate and the fear, watching your breath. And then you realize you're going to need catharsis, so you start doing catharsis every day. It takes about 20, 25 minutes to do it, and you just stay with that catharsis over and over and over, getting your pain up. You journal it. You start watching, what is it about me that's making all of this possible? You start thinking about, well, what have I done to me? And then when you start realizing what you have done to me, then you will stop doing what you have done to me, and you will start working on another side of your life. And slowly, through dedication and devotion and increments of feeling the pull of wanting to be liberated from a mind that does not really belong to you, that is in many ways not of your making in the sense of your genetic nature, and you will start to ease off of all of this. You will start to find some sense of inner awakening, and meditation will become more and more natural. But you have to remember, if you do meditation for the sake of getting a benefit, some benefit at all, any benefit, it doesn't matter, you will lose it. it will not work, because that's not the way meditation works. You don't do it to be a better person or to get something into your life or to get something out of your life or to get something at all. Why do we meditate? Because we can. It's really that simple. Meditation will leak into every aspect of your life, into your giving, into your forgiving. It will leak into how you love and the way you love and what you love. It will go into the crevices of your life where you were clogged up before and muddled in your mind. It will take over as a priority in your life where you will need meditation for clarity. You'll be more clear in your thinking, more kind in your actions, and you will find a perseverance inside of you for the sake of not living according to your genetics and DNA. That in itself is an amazing experience. Believe me, it is. Your body will follow along as far as it can go. But don't be meditating, Jason, for the sake of trying to get something better into your life. You meditate because you can. That's it. Any kind of motivation other than that will turn into something really, really difficult in your life and curtail your practice. Jason, I wish you well. I've got loads of meditations on the website at aspire.org, and maybe you should start off with the catharsis and maybe move on to the Vipassana a little bit, those two, and then see where you go from there. We're working on Tummo meditations right now, Tibetan pulsing meditations that we did at our retreat recently. So maybe eventually you can join us at a workshop or a retreat, and who knows where this will take you. It could take you into nirvana. Thank you, Jason. Please forgive me. Namaste. Oh, yes. Nirvana, the last nightmare of us. Here's the next one from Todd. None of these people tell me where they live. Folks, people aren't going to hunt you down, okay, and try to get you for being on my program in this way, but nevertheless. How do I forgive, Greg, the unforgivable? I struggle. I know I should, morally, but I don't seem to be able to, Todd. Todd, I want you to remember something here. The human body, the human psyche, the pathology of all of us does not want to forgive at all. It is not interested in forgiveness, not even remotely. So please, if you're going to seek forgiveness, you have to seek it outside of the realm of desire, ambition, and pride. You have to seek it beyond the realm of thinking that forgiveness is a decree that you put upon a person. Forgiveness is a lifestyle. I tell my students this over and over and over and over again. It is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. They don't understand. It's very, very hard for them to get it. What do I mean by a lifestyle? It is in the smallest and most integral little nuances of our life. It's how you pick up the salt and hand it to somebody at the dinner table. It's how you wash your plate after you eat. It is how you clean your bathroom, your toilet. It is how you shower. It's how you iron your clothes. It's how you vacuum your rugs. It is how you do everything. Because how you do anything is how you do everything. We do it with humility and gratitude. Gratitude for being alive. Gratitude for the honor of being able to clean. Maybe to serve another person, to help another person. Just passing the salt is helping people. There are all sorts of different ways. You do everything in the humility of a gratitude for the sake of of life itself. That's how you do it. If you do not have this gratitude, if you do not have this sense of humility, then you will never find that forgiveness is possible, because forgiveness is not a decree. Forgiveness is just the way you are. So somebody does something that you in your human form think is absolutely outrageous and unnecessary, unwarranted, maybe not even true. How do you forgive that person? Well, if it's even a question of how to forgive them, then I could never forgive them. I like what Jesus said. What's that to thee? Follow thou me. What does it matter? Follow the highest that lives within you. Don't get caught up in the minutiae of other people's craziness, other people's ignorance, other people's spiritual indifference. Don't get caught up in it. They are what they are. They have what they have. They can't do any more. They're crippled. Don't you see that? And then once you see it and you recognize it in yourself, it's easy. I'm the same person they are. No one does to me what isn't done through me, by me, for me, from me. And once you really get into that, that no one can hurt you except yourself, that is when something of the other shore begins to arise in you. Something beautiful begins to happen. And all of a sudden, the words, I forgive you, never need to be said. They are carried in the countenance of your being. They are carried in the way you are. You are that forgiveness. You are that loving kindness. You are the way, the truth, and the light inside you. And you don't have to think about it. Your mind isn't pointed in that way. Your mind is not pointed towards you were wrong, I was right. Buddha talked about it. Meditation, right mind, is coming to that place where it isn't about who's right, who's wrong. A mind no longer seeking to consider, as Buddha said, what is right and wrong, what is good and bad. Just dropping it. Learning to live from the state of the heart opens up a whole new world. The possibility of even reaching the soul. And that is a magnificent aspect of life. If you work upon yourself, if you live in the state of your inner being, you will find you awaken. And as you awaken, some very beautiful things start to happen within you. People will say and do things to all of us, and it's happened to me. I mean, so my whole lifestyle is based around forgiveness. And when you really think about it, they're going to say and do and things to you and I that we don't think are warranted or are even untrue. But it doesn't matter. What's that to thee? What does it matter? If you take it in, if your pride gets involved, your vanity gets involved, what good is it? What have you achieved? You going to do vengefulness? Or do you think that sitting there and hating someone for what they've said or not said about you or what they've done to you is going to change them, is going to rectify the scales of life, if you think there are these scales? Or do you think that the heavens are going to open up and go, you were right? Do you think people are going to be cut down? I've seen people who have done heinous things, said heinous things, get away with it without any compromise in their life. I've seen them prosper. I've seen them have wonderful things happen to them in the physical world. People would say they are wonderful, but they are tormented. And there are things about them that come to roost in their life. Can they meditate? No. Can they practice compassion? No. Can they do the things that are truly important, like give and forgive? No. No, I've watched them, both up close and afar. And that you got to really ask yourself, would you want to be that kind of person? Would you want to be in that body in those circumstances? And I would probably say not. There's something very beautiful about everyone, Todd. And what I do is I try to find that great beauty that lives within them. And I can find it very easily. It isn't what they say. It isn't what they do. It isn't what they are. And once you understand that, a great awakening will happen within you, a great insight, a great beauty, and you will awaken. You will understand. You will, I promise. Practice. Forgive. Live in forgiveness. I've written commentaries about it. I've talked about it a great deal. I've done discourses on it. I've done everything I could to help my students with it. It's all there on the website at aspire.org. Go take a look. You will see there is a great deal on forgiveness, and maybe that will help you. Thank you, Todd, for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. How do I give when I fear having less? Ted. There are so many Zen stories on this subject, and I can think of so many. The one that touches me the most, well, there are so many that touch me, I shouldn't even say that, but one of the ones that touch me the most, it's about this master who was in his hut. And a robber came in and took his money. And he looked at the robber before he left and said, just leave me enough so I can pay my taxes. And the robber did. And he left. And the little master looked outside, saw the beautiful moon. And he said, I wish I could have also given you this moon. It was the master's perception he could not give, because perception is something that you and I derive out of our own life, out of our own practice, out of what is valuable to us. I have no magic formula for you, Ted, I really don't. You have to go beyond the beyond. You have to realize you will always be taken care of. I've been a teacher, a professional beggar, for 45 years. It has not always been an easy life, believe me. But one of the things I realize is one way or another, somehow, I'm always cared for. Something always comes about that is beautiful in my life. What it is, how it works, I don't care to know. I don't want to work it. What I want is to live within it. And I don't push the envelope. I sit in gratitude. So here are some things I think might help you. To have a sense of gratitude towards the life you live, no matter how difficult or how easy or whatever, don't look at that part of it. Just be grateful for the life you live. Be grateful that there is that which lives within you that even allowed you to ask this question. It is whatever those two things are in your life that will change your life, that will bring about clarity in your life. So you want to look at those two elements. If you do, you will find a way to understand and recognize what it means to give, how to give, the way to give. And you will never be afraid of your giving ever again, because it isn't a matter of courage. It is a matter of thankfulness. I got to get out of here. Please forgive me Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ted, for your question. Thank you for listening. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. I hope you will join me. Please forgive me for all of this. Namaste.